Hey, it's New Year's Day, and for football fans, that means one thing: those college bowl games, a cultural ritual in the United States, we learned a few months ago. Watching big men in tights and helmets ram into each other and chase a ball around is something that might be exportable. The first ever NFL regular season game was played outside the U.S. back in October when the New York Giants and the Miami Dolphins faced off in London's Wembley Stadium. At the time, guest host Mike Pesca and I talked to Matthew Drew, a British fan who scored tickets to the sold-out game.
Hey, Matthew.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're well. So for the purposes of this conversation, let us use American terms where football means American football and soccer means football. Let's have everything mean football. Is that all right, Matthew?
That's absolutely fine.
How'd you become a football fan growing up and living in England?
Well, we were reasonably lucky in that it was on TV from sort of the mid-'80s, and we got into it that way. And then for me, when I was at uni, the TV deal got a lot bigger and we started getting a lot more of it over here. And obviously when you're a student, you perhaps got a bit more time on your hands to stay up a bit later and watch a lot of the games. And the more me and my friends watched it, the more we got into it. And hence we were quite big fans.
With the time difference, Sunday afternoon games would be at night there, but Monday night football would be, what, Tuesday morning football in the UK? Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, I had a few bleary mornings on Tuesday, having stayed up late to catch a Monday night football. I'm sure my university professors weren't entirely delighted with that, but it was worth it.
Outside of you and your circle of friends, how popular is it, do you think?
I think there's a quite a considerable group of people over here for who it's quite a big deal, and it's very, very popular. I mean, some of the people you interviewed there obviously don't know a huge amount about it, but it's one of those things where I guess at present it's got very much a kind of cult following, but it's very much on the up and up. I mean, participation, I think, is since sort of, I guess, about the year 2000 has dramatically increased in line a lot with the increase of the sport on TV.
Whenever I discuss American football with English people, they always sniff, in rugby we don't even use pads. That's a defensive and reflective thing, but is the padding and this, when you think about it, the pace of play, is that a hurdle to get over because they reset every play as opposed to soccer or rugby, which is always in motion?
Very, very much so, I think. When you speak to people over here who aren't fans, they're the two things that they bring up most, primarily the pad thing. They have this idea that the rugby guys are a lot tougher. But I mean, the reality there, I think, is that until very recently, and rugby's got a lot more professional and the players have got bigger, but until recently, they weren't the same size as the guys who were playing in the NFL. The hits weren't as big. And as the hits in rugby have got bigger, the guys in rugby have actually begun to wear a little bit of padding.
So what are they, to sell the game to the English, what are they emphasizing, the big bombs and the athleticism or the size of the guys and how hard they hit? What's the TV showing to try to get people interested?
It's very much the big bombs. I think the NFL guys will be hoping for some kind of shootout.
Right.
The Dolphins involved, they might be a bit disappointed. I think the TV adverts we've had here have been of people making spectacular touchdown catches and things like that. And then also some of the Dolphins guys putting in some pretty big hits.
With the Dolphins, it might not be a shootout, just a shooting. What do you think it's weird that the teams here are named the San Diego Chargers and the New York Jets and not FC San Diego, FC New York?
I'm sorry?
FC Football Club, isn't that how the Sheffield Wednesday and so forth is named?
My team, Liverpool, is Liverpool FC.
Yes. So the naming conventions get in the way?
Around.
And what's a weirder name, Sheffield Wednesday or Green Bay Packers?
They're both pretty strange. I think Sheffield Wednesdays probably just takes the biscuit there. I have, to be honest, no idea of the origin of that. It's most bizarre. But yeah, the Packers obviously have their own quite substantial history, so I'm sure there's a justifiable reason for such a curious name.
And this is my last very quick question. Will a Spice Girl be made available to marry Giants defensive end Osu Manura?
Well, since Osi was actually born in England, I'm sure one will be made available, yes.
Matthew Drew, attorney or solicitor, Englishman, American football fan. Have fun at the game on Sunday, Matthew.
Will do. Thanks very much, guys.
But the Brits didn't stay on their side of the pond. The Pipettes, a UK girl group, popped by our studios and charmed us all.
When you looked out on me, baby, I just put on my best shoes. I went down to the disco. The last person I thought I would see was you. Hopped a swan on the dance floor. My thoughts have turned to murder. Town of strangers, feel my eyes burning into their they know that I wanna kill them. Cause I can't get over you. And I can see them looking at you. And I just can't get over you. It hurts to see you dance so well. Wanted to do on the dance floor, but my feet won't dance no more. Since you walked right out the door, now all my moves are flawed. Cause I can't get over you. And I can see them dancing up to you. And I just can't.
Yes, and they look as good as they sound. We can prove it. Go to our website, npr.org/Bryant Park. Hey, coming up, the man who brought you Mallrats and Clerks wrote a book about his life, or as he put it, his boring-ass life. Kevin Smith will join us. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.
We never missed a beat when we were dancing cheek to cheek.